through this book in the Bible. And again, a couple weeks ago, preached the first part of chapter number 4 and just had a few verses left. And I thought that I would get through those and this message last Sunday night. I did not, and I got through a few verses. And so this is where we are in going through this book. And I wrote all these, I believe, somewhere around the 26th, 27th of August. I outlined this section. I've been, of course, studied it more, but what a great passage of Scripture for tonight. Paul's talking about his promised, the promised coming. We've been studying in this chapter. We've seen every chapter in Thessalonians ends with a reminder of what the theme is for the book, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 ends that way, 2, 3. We get to chapter number 4, it says, furthermore, knowing the return of Christ, and he gives us those present commands, that things we should be doing now as believers in the first few verses. We left off there at verse number 13, that's where we'll pick up tonight. We're going to read about his promised coming. We saw the present commands and the promised comings. Let's go ahead, if you're able, and we'll stand as we read our scriptures tonight. We'll read verse 13 down to verse number 18. And we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll look at the scriptures tonight. It says in verse number 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, we come to you tonight, and we ask you, Lord, just please use your word tonight to speak to us. I pray that God, Lord, you'd enable us and help us. Lord, you save this message for tonight, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to use it to give us comfort. Thank you, you're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so... everything is in your hand. And Lord, I just praise you for that. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just please use the message. And Lord, help us. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. And I pray that, Lord, we'd be challenged from your word tonight. And God, I just want to say I love you. And I thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's look at this few last few verses of chapter number 4 tonight. His promised coming. The first thing that Paul talks about in verses 13 down to verse number 15 are those who are asleep. Those who are asleep. Paul's going to give us some great detail about the theme of really this book, that is the rapture of the saints. No doubt they had questions. That's why he wrote questions about what we have called the rapture. So Paul addresses these in this passage. The first thing I want you to see in verse number 13, he talks about our feelings, and our feelings are reviewed. Our feelings are looked at here. It says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He talks about our feelings. Because when death occurs, our emotions... they can go a lot of different directions. What happens to the saints who die in Christ before the rapture? Death to those without Christ is scary. It's hopeless. Just the night, Saturday of the men's camp out that we had that Saturday. I went to a funeral. I did not speak at the funeral. I was just there to encourage a friend. The person that had died, whose funeral it was, did not know Christ, had rejected. The one that they had to speak, I guess, was just a worker at the funeral home, because I'm assuming he shared a last name with the funeral home. Right before he spoke, he walked up to a couple of family members and asked if they were ready, and I was sitting about five rows back and heard him as he cursed and used God's name in vain and just having conversation with him. Then he got up and he quoted some Benjamin Franklin quotes and read from a child's book about a caterpillar that becomes a butterfly, and read a couple quotes from some professor at some university out east, and then he read a prayer that had been written by somebody. About 100 people sitting there, all crying in agony, without hope. And my heart broke as I watched. And they, not one mention of salvation, Jesus, heaven, hell, nothing. Just telling everybody that it's going to be okay. Without Christ, there is no hope. And I ask you to pray, because the person that I went to is the wife of that man that had passed away. She got a hold of me Monday and said, "Can I talk to you?" And I'm praying she gets saved. Because death to those who don't know Christ is final. It's cold. It's harsh. It's bitter. But we sorrow not as those who have no hope. It doesn't say we don't sorrow. But we sorrow not as those who have no hope. We have a hope. We have a confidence. We have an assurance from the Word of God. And the Bible says here in this verse, and Paul is comforting these Christians in Thessalonica and telling them and answering their question, that those who die in the faith, those who die having known the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a hope. There is a confidence that we will see them again. He refers to their death as being asleep. You know, when you lay yourself down at night, you know, I do not lay down tonight in fear of sleep. I don't lay down tonight in agony that I'm going to sleep. To be quite honest, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long few days. And that, to the believer, is what death is like. It should be something that is peaceful. It is restful. That's what Jesus said about Lazarus when he talked to the disciples. He said, well, he is asleep. They thought he was sleeping, actually, as we would use that word. And he said, I don't mean that. He said, he is dead. But to the believer, there is still something even comforting in death. And that is this, that we have a hope. We have a confidence. We have an assurance. So our feelings, though we sorrow, though we grieve, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Our feelings reviewed. And then you see in verse 14, our faith reviewed. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also, which them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Since we believe, and I trust that everyone in this auditorium believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and that he rose again, And because of that, he being the first fruits, we know that one day we all will rise and meet him in the air. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Understand this, that right now, those who have died in Christ, Paul is teaching it to the Thessalonians, teaching it to us tonight, that those who have died in Christ, they are not in a grave. They are not in some tomb somewhere. Those who have died in Christ, they are with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Rachel passed away, the Bible says, and as her soul was in departing, understand these bodies stay here on earth for a while, but the real us, our soul that was breathed life into the moment we got saved, we who were dead in our trespasses and sins, the moment we accepted Christ into our life, he gave us life. That soul was given life. He quickened us. And when these bodies die, that soul goes to be with Jesus in heaven. And right now, that soul is with Christ. And when he comes back, he brings them, every one of them, with him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Amen. He brings them all. Paul says, if you believe this, you can know this, because dying is not to be feared more than sleeping. Can I tell you something? No one dies alone. In Matthew chapter 10, look at this verse real quick. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 29, down to verse 31. Feel free, Brother Sousa, if you want to. Matthew 10, verse number 29 and 31, in case anyone don't have a Bible tonight. But in Matthew 10, look what it says here in verse number 29. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. When a sparrow dies, God pays attention. Very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. My friends, if a sparrow in the sky can't fall without God being there, don't you know you are of far greater importance than the sparrows? And he is there, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. For us as believers, when we leave this body, we are safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe forever under his wings. Amen. Our future is reviewed in verse number 15, back in our text. Our future, our feelings and our faith, and now our future. In verse 15 it says, for we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now Paul shares with them and us something from Revelation. Something that, again, God had told him. That's what he, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. God had shown him these things. And simply stated there is that these bodies will one day rise. Now understand, whenever the Thessalonians got this epistle, a lot of this for that young church, they had a lot of questions. Paul's answering their questions. And even we, 2020, look at this and we find great grace and comfort in these verses. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord, in other words, God promised this. God said this. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He tells the Thessalonians that these bodies that we have to put in the ground, they will rise again one day. We will rise one day. That's our future. So you see here, those, number one, who are asleep, and now in verse number 16, he talks about those who will arise. Those who will arise. He, first of all, this revelation from God that he got there from by the word of the Lord, this revelation is expanded. He says there in verse number 16, he talks about the rapture of the saints. It says for in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We see the rapture of the saints. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know, a lot of times we, for some reason, I don't know if it's just me, maybe I was the only one, but for many, many years, I just thought that the archangel was the one shouting. That's not what the verse says. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's the Lord that does the shouting. And we talked about that last Sunday morning, that there are three times when the Lord raised his voice. Outside that tomb of Lazarus, he raised his voice. The Bible says he lifted up his voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And one came forth, and he was loosed and let go. The second time you read about Jesus raising his voice is there on the cross. The Bible says he lifted up his voice and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he lifted up his voice again. It is finished. And the Bible says that many graves were opened and many walked forth on the streets. But there's coming one more time when the Lord's going to raise his voice. And this time it's not one, and this time it's not many. But this next time he raises his voice, we all are going to meet him in the air. We all are going to arise. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, but I know I'm going to hear it. I don't know what the words are going to be. Maybe from Solomon, arise my love. Maybe it might just be come up hither. I do not know. And quite frankly, I don't care. I just can't wait to hear his voice. Just can't wait to hear him shout and we all rise together. That is a promise from God. We will rise together. You see the rapture of the saints, but also the ruin of the world. Then it says, with the voice of the archangel. The archangel will also speak. You say, what's he going to speak? We don't have a whole lot of detail here, but Revelation tells us that the devil will attack the very gates of heaven. And the archangel, this same archangel, is sent with the armies of heaven to defeat Satan. He'll come back to this earth with his tail between his legs. And when we read this right here, the Lord's coming back with a shout, and we're going to meet him. But then the archangel speaks. It's for a different message at a different time. But things will begin to change on this earth then. Upon the event of the rapture, when we are called out by the shout of the Lord, the archangel will then begin to move on this earth. A time of what we've called the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. You read about it in Revelation, about the vials, the trumpets, the seals. It'd be a terrible time. But I'm thankful that we don't have to endure that. We've been called out of that. You see the rapture of the saints, the ruin of the world, but then you see the refocus on Israel. And with the trump of God. The refocus on Israel. Trumpets in the Bible are used all throughout the Old Testament. It's what summoned Israel together. Trumpets were blown when the law was given. Trumpets were blown when they marched around Jericho. Their feast was summoned by the trumpets. They even had the feast of the trumpets. And I believe what Paul is teaching here is that we have the rapture of the saints, the ruin of the world, and then, as I just stated, God's spotlight will then be turned again towards his people, the Jews. We've preached on this other times, and I'll just leave it pretty much at there, that the tribulation is for the turning of the heart of God's people back to him. There will be much tragedy during that time throughout the entire world. There'll be much tragedy that time upon the Jewish people. The Bible says 2/3 of all the Jews will be slain. But those Jews who are alive at the end of the tribulation will all, and I'm just telling you the Bible, all Israel shall be saved. they all will turn their eyes to heaven, and the prophet says that they will say, "Behold my God." And God will say, "Behold my people." And then he will step foot on this earth, and the armies of Israel will gather against him with just the word of his mouth. Victory is won. And he will rule and reign on this earth. Now, Paul doesn't go into all the details there because he's addressing the rapture, answering their question. But we know from the word of God that day is coming. You see the rapture of the saints, the ruin of the world, the refocus on Israel. And then lastly, in verse number 16, you see the resurrection expected. The dead in Christ. Before all these things happen, he goes back to what he's talking about. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All those, you drive by a cemetery, you walk through, for the child of God, that's just a resting place for those bodies. It's not the end. It's resurrection ground. Someday those graves will open, and the mortal shall put on immortality. Amen. Those vile bodies will be transformed into a body like his. Perfection. What a day, what a promise. The revelation is expanded in verse number 16. Then he talks about those who will arise, and now in verse 17 and 18, those who are alive. How about us? How about us? In verse number 17, it says this, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." We that are alive and remain. Notice Paul put himself in that group. He said we, right? What's that mean? He expected the Lord's return. If there's any mid-trib people out there, you have to be wrong. You got to be wrong. Because Paul said we, right? He put himself that it could happen at any moment. I'm alive, so I'm expecting the return. Amen. All right, but anyways, that's free. All right, but anyways, all right? He says, "We which are alive and remain." You see the promised rapture here in verse number 17. This is an imminent rapture. "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." It is an imminent return. It will happen at any moment. There is nothing in the Word of God that needs to take place before the rapture of the saints. That could be today. That could be tomorrow. That could be tonight. That could be before this message is over. And I say, come. What a glorious day it's going to be. It's going to happen. It will happen in any moment. It is an imminent return. It will be an incredible return. We shall be caught up together. You know, we're so used to things. That is incredible. You imagine if that takes place right now? Man, we'll all just meet, and not just us, all the saints of God will meet him in the air. What a glorious time. What a reunion that's going to be. It's going to be a wonderful time that God, you say, is it really going to happen? Absolutely it's going to happen, because God promised it's going to happen. It's an imminent return. It will be an incredible return as we're all caught up. It is an inclusive return. It says, "We, which are alive and remain," that's those of us he's writing to, we as believers, "will be caught up with them." That's those who have already died in Christ, who he brings with him in the clouds. I say inclusive because for us as believers, it's going to be a great reunion. It's going to be a wonderful day. But if you've not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and seen yourself as a sinner, and repented of your sin, my friend, you would miss that. You see, only those who have believed in Christ. You say, "Well, I'll do that later. I'll worry about that when, you know, when I see all these things happen." According to the next book in the Bible, if you have heard this truth, you're going to believe a lie. You say, "I'll never believe a lie." You're already believing one. that you can put it off. That it's not an imminent return. So if you're here today, and I don't care who you are, or what your name is, what your last name is, or how long you've been a member, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, do so today. Do so now. It's an imminent return. It's an incredible return. It's an inclusive return. And it's an introductive return. See, what do you mean introductive? Look at the verse there in verse number 17. You know, it's just something I've quoted all my life, haven't thought much about. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to meet the Lord. I think too many times we focus, and I'm not taking away, believe me, from the reunion that's going to take place. But it doesn't say we're going to be running around trying to find our loved ones. When he calls us, there's only one. That we're going to go. And that we're going to want. And that we're going to fall down. And we're going to praise him. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Won't that be a wonderful time? We're going to meet the Lord in the air. What a day. What a wonderful thing. It's a promised rapture. You know, as remember, I've taught about everything in our school, every class, except elementary. I don't do elementary. But I've taught lots. I've taught science, not my favorite. Sometimes you do what you have to do. But I remember teaching, and that, you know, we were teaching nature and the nature of elements, and we'd take a magnet and run it over, and it would only draw up to it what was of the same nature as that magnet. If I run across a piece of paper, don't bring up a piece of paper. I even put my wedding ring down, took it off. It wouldn't bring up my wedding ring. It wouldn't. But what is of the same nature is drawn up to it. You and I that are saved, we are partakers of his divine nature, Peter says. And when he comes, we that are of that divine nature will be caught up with him in the air. What a wonderful day. You see a promised rapture, then in verse 18, a present rest. Number one, all these things that Paul just said, he said this, he said, wherefore? Knowing all these things, comfort one another. These questions arose without a doubt because some of their loved ones had died. What happens? And Paul wrote and told them. Because death stirs the emotions for the believer. It's a sorrowful time. It's a time when we're troubled. But Paul said, the Lord said, it's okay. You can comfort each other with these words. That they're not gone. They're not lost. They are safe with the Lord. And we all will be united one day. This promised rapture is comforting in the fact that it should give us peace in these times. I wrote in my notes 2 weeks ago, knowing these things, that even if we face death, we can still have peace. It comforts us. It is not only comforting, but it's certain. It's certain. We can find comfort because we're not appointed unto wrath. Aren't you thankful for that? if we had to go through a tribulation, there isn't much comforting about that.
Right. That's right.
You know, I was telling the pastor I preached for this last week up in Indiana. He preached on the rapture last Sunday at his church, and he was talking about there's many, not in his church, but so many today that are with this Reformed theology, which stay away from. I'll say that again. This Reformed theology, stay away from. But there's so many going to a mid-trib position. And I just looked at him. We started talking about scriptures, and I said, this verse don't make sense right here. You're going to face giant scorpions with stingers that will sting you. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. A third of the earth and people will be scorched by the sun. Wherefore, comfort one another. You say, that's ridiculous. It is. We're not appointed unto wrath. Praise God for that. We can take the word of God, knowing what's coming, and find comfort. But not only is it comforting and certain, but look what it says. It needs to be communicated. Wherefore, comfort one another. You know, these verses help me. I hope they help you tonight. But our job is to use it and to comfort each other. In my notes 2 weeks ago, it says, look for people that you can comfort, because some will need this shared with them in days ahead. There's a hurting husband and some kids. Take comfort. It's going to be okay. The Lord promised. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many